Hey, follower of Jesus, do you have a hard time accepting God's love and believing he is good to you and not just good to others? Do you have a hard time forgiving those who hurt you? Do you wrestle with feelings of anxiety, racing thoughts, burnout, and feel like you are at the end of your rope? Do you find yourself being in pain and stuck in the past? Or maybe this one. Do you constantly question whether it's God's voice or your feelings? If so, you are welcome here and you're in the right spot. In this podcast, you will learn how to go from knowing God's word to believing God's word. I will teach you how to hear from God, discern God's voice, process emotions and feelings, let go of control, and trust God despite what you are going through. And most importantly, how to feel again, which means walk through your pain and feelings with the Father instead of running from them. We are a spirit, have a soul, and live in a body. God cares about your body, and so do I. If you are ready to grow your relationship with God and need a starting place, a safe place to process your feelings, pull up a seat and join us at the table. I'm Jessica, someone who loves Jesus but didn't grow up in the church. For a long time, I believed that if I didn't take care of myself, then no one would. I was burned out, surviving, living by what I felt in the moment, and believed God was good, but that I was too far gone. I didn't trust God with my daily life or my basic needs, only my eternity. I believed so many lies, like my body was a tool I was to use to feel loved, and that I had to strive in everything I did to prove to others I was worthy of their acceptance and approval. I allowed the pain of my past to dictate my future and keep me stuck in the present moment. I realized that even in my mistakes, with all the choices I made, I am still loved by a God whose love isn't transactional. I am loved by a God whose love doesn't change despite when my feelings changed. What I knew about God and his love slowly transformed my heart. And I am here to share all of that with you. If he did it for me, he will and is ready to do it for you. Hey, friend, welcome to the podcast. My name is Jessica Hoddle. I'm your host. And today I just want you to raise your hand if you're an overthinker. If you are somebody that feels as though they just can't stop overthinking, this podcast episode is for you. And we're going to discuss this. We're going to talk about some strategies and some techniques, and most importantly, some practices to help you kind of move through overthinking. So stay tuned. Have you ever made a decision and then immediately felt regret? I want you to lean in and I want you to hear this. Sometimes you will grieve a decision, even if it's the right one. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes you will grieve a decision, even if it's the right one. See, I've learned that the decisions we make often produce a change of some kind. And with that change, it can often bring loss, you know, which is why we often overthink, right? Because we're thinking of every possible scenario that we can do to prevent something else from happening. The thing that we lose will often be the thing that we grieve over. We grieve of what it once was and what you wish it could have been and what it may never be. To grieve is to be sad, to cry, to ache, and to suffer. And to grieve is to feel loss of any kind. I actually had somebody tell me one time in a comment on Instagram that grieving is only if you lose somebody. Grieving is not just for death. Grieving is a loss of any kind. And if you look up synonyms to grieve, it is to feel sad, to cry, to ache, to suffer. And so sometimes it's the distance you feel from family that you just wish could look different. Maybe it's walking away from friends who are not going in the same direction as you. That's loss. You feel the loss of family and that connection. You feel the loss of friendships, right? We're overthinking because we're thinking of every possible scenario to prevent something else from happening. We don't want to make a decision because that decision will often produce change, and that change often produces loss of some kind. So I understand how hard it can feel to make a decision only to feel like you made the wrong one because of all the feelings or changes that one decision can bring. I know what it feels like to think about the ridicule that can come. the way no one seems to understand the decisions you have to make, the backlash you get for standing your ground and setting a boundary. This is, boundaries is a big topic for me, and it's something that I've had to put into practice so many times and really affirm and be okay when people might lovingly make fun of my boundaries, or how I'll get ridicule and, you know, the scripture or things being thrown at me. Well, you don't have the love of Christ in you because you set these boundaries. And until you love me this way, then I'll know that you love Christ. And I've had these things kind of come against me, right? Standing my ground, setting my boundary, doing what I really believe is healthy and kind and true for both parties. It can easily make you feel as an outcast. And then you feel like, did I even make the right decision? Because this feels like everything is against me. So I want you to know that when you make a good decision, sadness can come after it. And that's okay. And so when I say understand, I really understand. From the decisions that I've had to make, like I said, with my family, to friendships that have ended in so much pain. And this isn't something that's like long gone. This is something that is more recent in my life. I still grieve over some of the losses I've experienced due to choices, even though I knew they were the right ones. See, what I know is that Jesus didn't promise, he didn't promise us that following him would be easy or come without loss, but he did promise us that he would be with us through it all. Therefore, sadness after a choice doesn't mean it's the wrong one. Psalm 94:19 says, when my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your consolations delight my soul. See, many of the Psalms were written kind of by overthinkers who were facing danger or emotional unrest, fear, or despair. They boldly wrote out their anxious thoughts, and then they would really turn them in worship to God. And I think that's maybe what you needed to hear today, that you are not alone. And even if you feel sadness after a decision, it doesn't mean it's the wrong one. But I'm sure that you're also thinking, what are some kind of techniques and things like that? I'm all about techniques and making it practical, right? So let's talk about some emotional techniques first to help you stop overthinking. I'm going to just share three in a couple of different categories. So these are the emotional techniques, is really questioning your thoughts. To stop overthinking, we want to validate or invalidate your anxious thoughts. So ask yourself, what's the evidence for or against this thought? Is this line of thinking productive? This is actually one that my husband and I put into practice. This next question is, what's the worst that can happen and how would I cope? It allows my brain to go to a place that it needs to go, because we're afraid often of what's the worst that can happen. So if we actually allow ourselves to go to what actually the worst that could happen, you realize that, yeah, there's some bad things that could happen, but you know that there's help, there's support. You can reach out to this person. This person might come in. You might be able to get aids from this place, which actually helps us calm the anxiousness. Sounds so backwards, doesn't it? Like, you're like, what's the worst that can happen? And then you kind of go through that and you're like, okay, that's actually not that bad. And I know that God's with me, and I know that I can trust his character, and I can look back on his faithfulness. So it's really not bad, because this is how I would be able to cope. And it actually helps reduce your anxious thoughts. I want you to think about setting information intakes, right? Like, limit this. I've been talking about this a lot. We want to limit our information intake. When you're thinking about something and you're ruminating on it and you feel like you can't stop overthinking, limit your information, especially if it's on a specific topic, because the more information that you get, the more likely that you are going to question everything. You're like, well, this is a new thought, and this is this, and this is, you know, it just kind of keeps going and going. So limit your information intake. Another one is just, the third one in this category is awareness. Recognize and acknowledge when you're caught in the loop of overthinking. When you feel yourself going around and around and around, I want you just to picture yourself, close your eyes, picture yourself getting off the ride. Like, you're stepping off of the Ferris wheel. Okay, you're not allowing it to keep going around. You're choosing to physically get off, and now you're going to change a thought pattern. You're going to interrupt it. Now, another set is spiritual practices. So we talked about emotional techniques. This is some spiritual practices to help with stop overthinking. Prayer. Of course it's prayer. We want to communicate, want to be in communion with the Lord. So when we're honest with him, like, he's a real God. Let's get real with him. He knows, right? He knows. He knows your heart. He already knows. But the desire to tell him creates the relationship. That's relationship. You're not his puppet. He's not a marionette dangling and telling you what to do. When you tell him and you commune with him, it's where we get our relationship. So we want to go to him in prayer, talk to him. We want to think about being in community. Tell people what you're thinking about. They can speak, hey, that's a lie. Hey, that's true. Hey, here are actually some options. Here's what I feel as though helped me. Community is so important. Mindfulness, practicing mindfulness with God. It's being present in the moment. It helps you to focus on your surroundings. And you can really get in tune with God's presence when I'm not trying to sound over holy here either. Okay. I know we talk about that a lot, like getting God's presence and all this stuff. But this is true. Like when we practice mindfulness, we're not thinking 8,000 steps in the future. My husband, he is a future thinker. Okay. I know what it's like for somebody to be 8,000 years ahead of the plan. But God's grace is sufficient for today. And I always remind him of that. And today is what we know. What can we do today? So let's practice mindfulness for today. So community, mindfulness, and prayer. Those are some spiritual practices to stop overthinking. The emotional techniques was the awareness, a question your thoughts, and limit information intake. Now the last category is physical strategies to help you stop overthinking. Exercise. Guys, move your body. Let's move our bodies. We know that exercise releases endorphins. It changes just a lot of the biological structure of the way hormones are released. But let's just move our bodies. It can be a walk. It can be stretching. It can be strength training. Whatever it is, let's again interrupt the normal pattern that we take when we start. Say you know that when you're at work and this is exactly when you start overthinking or this thought comes in, interrupt it. Wherever you are, say you're in your office and this always happens around this time. It always happens in the car. Do something different at that time. Interrupt your thought. Grounding techniques is another one, a physical strategy. Think of 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So when you want to stop overthinking, you want to focus on your surroundings. Identify 5 things you can see, 4 things you can touch, 3 things you can hear, 2 that you can smell, and 1 that you can taste. And think about holding onto an object. Carrying something like a small stone or a token in your pocket, that can also serve as a reminder to stop overthinking, just something to bring you back to reality. And here's another physical strategy that's really practical, friends. Limit your stimulants. This is especially if you wrestle with anxious thoughts or anxiety. Limit your caffeine and your sugar intake. It will help tremendously. So those are just the physical strategies, emotional techniques, and spiritual practices that you can practically put into place. You can try one, different times to help you stop overthinking. But most importantly, I know what it feels like again when we have those feelings that come. My book, Face Off With Your Feeling, is such a great place to start. If you wrestle with feelings, if you wrestle with your thought process, I really walk you through step by step of what's happening in your body and your emotions and your feelings and how to actually make decisions that are different, how to interrupt your patterns. We talk about thought patterns inside my book, Face Off With Your Feelings. So that's also a great starting place for you if you wanted to pick up my book, and I'll make sure the link is below for you. But most importantly, challenge the way you think to change the way you live. I'd love to hear from you. Come hang out with me on Instagram at Jessica Hoddle. I also have a 3-day free Bible study on dealing with your emotions in a biblical way. So I definitely have resources for you. Please take advantage of them. Stop just sitting back and waiting for things to happen and waiting for things to change. It's not going to happen. It takes practice and it takes training. And most importantly, you just don't have to do it alone. How free would you feel if your feelings didn't get the final say in your life, but God's word did? Many of us allow our feelings to be the engine in our lives instead of the caboose. We are run by our feelings when we run away from them. But as I teach in my book, Face Off With Your Feelings, we no longer have to run and hide from our feelings. Our feelings can lead us into a deeper relationship with God. Whether you feel too busy to slow down, believe you are not worth the time, the effort, or the fight, you feel so overwhelmed with where to start, or have no idea how to take your thoughts captive, question your thoughts, or renew your mind, my book, Face Off With Your Feeling, helps you create space step by step to heal the tender places of your soul. In my book, Face Off With Your Feelings, I teach you how worthy you are of love and healing because of our good Father in heaven. I write from my own journey and I share simple, tangible action steps for you to take as you work through the process of healing, including changing the way you think about God to change the way you live with God, creating the space you need to find healing, discovering how to get the word of God from your head into your heart, experience and love of God through relationship and not works, and finally, finding freedom from shame about what you feel so that you can heal. So if you are ready for your feelings to not be the engine in your life that runs you, but rather the caboose, pick up my book, Face Off With Your Feelings, by heading to jessicahoddle.com/shop today.